start with a bit of an overview, because there's one point that I think is so important to see before Yom Kippur, because it sets the tone, at least for me, for Yom Kippur. So we're going to go a tiny drop out of order, and this will, I think, give us a nice overview generally about Hilchos Tshuva, and then we'll go back to specifically where we are. So let's review what we've done so far. We started off with Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph tells us about the basic mitzvah of tshuva and vidui and the like, which is exactly what you'd expect at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, that you can do tshuva, that tshuva is effective, and so on. Moreover, it teaches you how to do tshuva. That was Perek Aleph. Perek Bet continues with the focus of Hilchos Tshuva, and here we saw the extent to which tshuva, at least complete tshuva, must be. You must be a different person, having totally abandoned the original sin. Ezuhi tshuva gemura, the same opportunity to sin comes your way, but this time you don't do it. And the point that tshuva is basically a change. It's about becoming a different person such that you're no longer connected to the original sin. So also, Perek Bet made a lot of sense where it was placed. Perek Gimel is what we started last time, and that too makes a lot of sense. There the Rambam talks about the nature of tshuva, of the din on Rosh Hashanah, and how tshuva works. So we saw the Rambam writes that if you're tzaddik, you're nechtam l'chaim. If you're rasha, you're nechtam l'misa. And the beinuni, so then tolan, there is a delay until Yom Kippur and an opportunity to do tshuva. And if you do tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you're nechtam l'chaim. And the Rambam told us about tkiyah shofar and Rosh Hashanah, as we saw last time, being a hisorerus for tshuva, reminding us to take life seriously, to wake up, to stop being sleepyheads, and do what we want to do. So the end of Perek Gimel, which we didn't get to yet, talks about who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, and its placement over there is interesting. We'll talk about it later today or next time, but basically the context there is because the Rambam told us that you could do tshuva for anything and have a chelek in Olam Haba. And the Rambam also even says that a person who doesn't do tshuva has a chelek in Olam Haba, because Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam chelek in Olam Haba. You're punished for the sins that you've done, but you still have a chelek in Olam Haba. And then, because he's told us that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam chelek in Olam Haba, the Rambam also says, well, actually, there are certain people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba for particularly egregious beliefs, and we'll discuss what those are. But again, so far so good in terms of the order and the structure. The Rambam is always extraordinarily careful with respect to structure and organization. Even the whole notion of Hilchos Tshuva is quite remarkable, because there's no Meseches Tshuva in Shas. The Rambam has taken the ideas from Bavli and Yerushalmi and Medrash and collected them all in a systematic and organized group of halachos called Hilchos Tshuva. Fascinating. So far, so good. Perek Daled, which we might get to today, are things that prevent tshuva. And again, also a reasonable progression. After having told us about the power of tshuva in the first three parakim, he tells us what types of things make tshuva difficult. Then, in Perek He, the Rambam turns to the topic of free will. So he stops talking about tshuva, and he begins talking about free will. And for those of you who are here on Shabbos, we actually read this first halacha, where the Rambam writes about how everybody could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu and as wicked as Yeravam, and we're all entirely and totally free. Now, why would the Rambam talk about that in Hilchos Tshuva? What do you think?
There's no tshuva without free will.
Good.
You can't do tshuva if you didn't choose to make a mistake.
Absolutely. Really on two levels. First of all, you wouldn't have to do tshuva if you were somehow compelled to sin. Someone who has no choice but to sin, and on Shabbos we talked about whether that exists or doesn't exist. It might be true for many things. We might be true with respect to some types of things and not really free due to nature and nurture with respect to other things. But obviously, one only would need to do tshuva about something that one has freely done. We're not responsible for things that we've committed if we had no choice but to commit them. So, and likewise, secondly, exactly like you said, Shuli, we only are able to do tshuva because we are free. The notion of tshuva is predicated on our ability to change. We have chosen one path until now, but we have the freedom to change that, and thus, as we saw from the earlier prakam in the Rambam, the first step of tshuva is accepting responsibility for our actions. We have to accept responsibility for actions because we are in fact free. When Cain kills Hevel, God asks him what he's done, and Cain said, "It's not my fault. You gave me the Yetzer Hara. You gave me the weapon. You allowed me to do it." He was, at least at first, able to do tshuva because he failed to take responsibility. He denied his own freedom. So it's very clear that freedom is an integral part of tshuva. Tshuva is predicated upon freedom. Tshuva is possible because we have freedom. And moreover, in order to do tshuva, we first must accept and acknowledge our freedom, and therefore accept responsibility. And as we talked about on Shabbos, one of the things that really inhibits tshuva, failure to take responsibility. A lot of times we don't do tshuva because we don't really feel like we're able to change. Yes?
Why not put it before the concept of mitzvahs? Because that also isn't really...
So you're absolutely correct. And the Rambam does in fact write that the whole notion of mitzvos depend upon freedom. And I think that you're bringing up a good point. I would have predicted that the Rambam would have written Hilchos free will in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah at the very beginning, because it's the Yisod HaTorah. I think he waits to Hilchos Tshuva, which is the end of Sefer Hamada. Yisod HaTorah is the beginning of Sefer Hamada, because he really wants to highlight the role of freedom in tshuva, and especially in the practical sense. And in fact, the Rambam makes this very point. After, if you look at Parakei, after going ahead and telling us that we have freedom, if we look at Halacha Gimel, and we will get back to all these halachos very carefully, these are really Yesodei HaTorah. I think we should continue Hilchos Tshuva even after Yom Kippur, because it's full of very, very important ideas. But if we look at Halacha Gimel over there, he writes, "Ein mishi kafehu v'lo gozer alav v'lo mi shemoshcho lechem mishnei adrachim." There's no one that pushes you in one direction. "Elohu me'atzmo midato nota le'ezeh derech she'yirtzeh." That person alone has the choice to go whichever way he wishes. Even though God is involved in the world, but he doesn't interfere with our own freedom. So when he says there's no one that compels him, he means even God. "Hushi Yirmiyahu omer, mi pi elyon lo teitzeh ra'os vatov," from on high, meaning to say from God, does not emanate good and bad. "Kilomar, ein haborei," this is a pasuk in Eicha, "ein haborei gozer al hadam lihios tov v'lo lios ra." The kevan shekein, and therefore, since this is so, since we are free in our choices, "Nimtza zehachote hu hifsid et atzmo." So we've destroyed ourselves when we've sinned. We can't blame it on somebody else. "Ulefikach ra'ui lo lifkos ulekonein alma she'asa l'nafsho." And therefore, a person must lament and mourn the way in which he's destroyed himself through sin, through corrupting his own soul. "Ugmalara hushakasuv acharav." And the next pasuk, after telling us that we have free will, the pasuk continues, "Therefore, mayis onen adam chai gever al chata'av, v'chazar ve'omer, ho'el rushuso bi'adenu, umida'atenu asinu kol ara'os, ra'ui lanu lachzor b'tshuva, v'lazov rish'o, sherashus atap bi'adenu." Husha kasuv acharav, nach besader achenu v'nachkura v'nachkora v'nashuva el Hashem. So because we have that freedom, therefore we have to take responsibility for our actions, and this should prompt us to examine our ways and do tshuva. So the Rambam here is following the psukim in his discussing free will in the context of Hilchos Tshuva. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So we've now explained the structure until Perek Hey. Perek Vav also makes sense. It's a continuation of his discussion of free will, where he deals with the question of psukim that seem to contradict the notion of free will, specifically psukim such as those describing the hardening of Paro's heart and others, which imply that in fact God does control our freedom. He addresses that question. So Vav, we also understand. Now here's the perplexity begins when we turn to Perek Zion. Turn to Perek Zion. Here. I could use these right now. In Perek Zion, he goes back to Tshuva. Perek Zion, Halacha Aleph, Holu Rishus Kol Adam Nisuna Kimoshe Biyarnu, Yishtadel Asos Tshuva, Vilin Or Kapav Michatav. Since we have freedom, so therefore you should do Tshuva and empty your hands of sins, Kadesh Yamos Bal Tshuva, Kadesh Yizkil Chayel Maba. And he continues, therefore Li Olam Yira Adam Atzmo Ki'ilu Hunotel Amus, Vishama Yamus Bishato, Vinimta Ome Bichatav. A person should see themselves as being no telamos, meaning to say, like Chazal say, you should remember that you might die at any moment because we never know. Not so that you should be morbid, but a person should do tshuva every day because you never know if today will be your last day. You should do tshuva anyway, any day. But especially, one doesn't wish to die without having done tshuva, as the Mishnah says. And therefore, since we don't know when, which day will be our last, we should do tshuva every day. It's important to note, by the way, once we're doing this halacha, that this idea of being aware of our mortality, cognizant of our mortality, knowing that we won't live forever, is something that is very difficult in our modern world. We live in a world where we're very much separated from death. For the most part, some people aren't, but I know myself, thankfully, I've never experienced, Baruch Hashem, the loss of someone very close to me, my grandparents, but they were far away. I was close to them. They were old. But even more, people sort of associate thinking about mortality with morbidity and depression. It's depressing to think about death. And Chazal are telling us here, as well as the Rambam, that a person should consider their mortality, ki'ilu hu no telama, so that they'll be ready for Misa. And it doesn't make a person, it doesn't have to make a person depressed. My grandfather, who lived in Netanya in Israel, so when I was studying in Israel, he was coming to America for Pesach, and I went to his house to help him pack. At that time, he was about mid-80s. Maybe late 80s, he lived till his mid-90s. And he was giving me this to put in a suitcase and that to put in a suitcase, and then he gives me this big, heavy package. And he says, put this in my suitcase. So I put it in the suitcase, and I say, what is this ID? And he says, it's my tachrichim. And wow, I almost fainted. I said, Zaidi, you're healthy. Varchash, he was like a little bit sick the past week. I said, the doctor said, you're okay. There's nothing to worry about. I thought he was like, thought he was going to die imminently. And he was, so he said, no, no. He smiled at me. He was generally a happy person. He always used to sing Mitzvah Gedola Lios B'Simcha. And he said, no, no. Ever since I turned 70, whenever I go on a trip, I take my tachrichim. So that way, they'll be available if I die, And also I won't be a burden on, he said, your mother, because that's where he's going, my parents, to get tachrichim. And it wasn't something that made him sad. He was someone who experienced life in Europe. He grew up in a shtetl, Barsha. He was someone who was in Europe, Eastern Europe, for World War II. He saw death, and he experienced it. And it wasn't, not to say he wasn't afraid of death, but the idea of preparing for death wasn't something that made him depressed. When you turn 70, you should be ready. So he prepared his tachrichim. He bought tachrichim, and he took them with him when he went on a trip. It blew my mind away. And I think it's something that a person is able to do in a healthy way, not in a depressing way, to prepare for death. And that's in a sense what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam says, person should make sure to do tshuva before they die, and since you don't know when you're going to die, so then one should always do tshuva. Lefikach yashuv mechata'av miyad v'lo yomar k'shazkina shuv. Person shouldn't say, okay, I'll do tshuva when I get older. Because it is true that even if you live a life of wickedness, if you do tshuva on the last day, that works. No, shema yamos kodem shiazken. You might die before you get old. The Rambam also said in Parak Dalet that a person that says echdev ashuv will probably not succeed in doing tshuva. Ein maspikin biyadu lashuv. Hu sheshlomo amar b'chachmaso b'chol eis yu v'gadach alavanim. At all times your clothing should be clean. You should always do tshuva. And then the Rambam says the following. Before we read this next halacha, just to say, what's our question? The Rambam talks about tshuva, prakim, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Then he switches Parakeh and Vav to free will, and now he goes back to tshuva. So the order doesn't make any sense. If you wanted to do tshuva at the beginning, talk about free will in the beginning, because like we said, free will is a prerequisite to tshuva, fine. So discuss it in Parak Aleph. If you want to discuss it at the very end of your discussion of tshuva, because you should know that tshuva is possible because you have free will, so I'm going to tell you about free will, that also makes sense. But smack in the middle, why in Parak Hey and Vav does he discuss free will, and now return to his discussion of tshuva in Parak Zayin? So the answer has to be that there is something in Parak Zayin that demands that we have read Prakim Hey and Vav. Sorry, yeah, Hey and Vav, in order to appreciate. There's something about the tshuva in Parak Zayin. There's something different about the tshuva in Parak Zayin that demands that we have read chapters 5 and 6. And it's only because we've read 5 and 6 that we could appreciate chapter 7. Something different about the tshuva in chapter 7. And we'll see that in this halacha, where the Rambam tells us about a new aspect of tshuva that we have not yet seen. And this point was made very beautifully by the Rav in Al HaTshuva. If you want to see it, it's on pages 191 to 256. So let's read this halacha. V'al tomar she'en tshuva ela me'avero she'esh bahen ma'aseh. A person should not say that there is only tshuva when it comes to sins about which there is a physical act. Oftentimes on Yom HaKippurim, when we think about tshuva, we're thinking about averos with a maisa. That's what we think about. When we think about sins, we think of a maisa avera. The Torah said, don't do X, and I did X. Whether it comes to kashrus, or lashon hara, or not doing a mitzvah, or whatever it is. Kishem shitzarech adam lashuv me'elu. Just as a person must repent from averos that involve a maaseh, kachu tzarech l'chapes b'deos ra'os shiyesh lo. So too, a person must examine the negative character traits that he has, the lashuv mehem, and to repent from them. For example, min ha'kas, umin ha'eva, umin ha'kina, umin ha'tacharos, Umin ha-hatel, umirdifos ha-mamon va-kavod, umirdifos ha-machalos u-kiyote behen. For example, anger, jealousy, silliness, chasing after wealth, chasing after honor, pursuing pleasures excessively, and the like. Even if there is no masa, avera. But these are deos. Min hakol tzarich lachzor b'tshuva. One must do tshuva from all these things. Ve'elu havonos, kashnan me'osan shiesh ben ma'isa. These types of sins, character flaws, are even worse than averos that actually involve a physical act. Shebizman she'adam nishka ba'elu, when a person is enmeshed within them, kashehu lifrosh, it is very difficult to separate. V'chein hu omer, as the pasuk says, yazov rasha darko, v'ish aven machshevosav, a wicked man must abandon his way, and a sinful man his thoughts. It's his thoughts as well. Now with this, the Rav pointed out, we could explain the order of the Rambam. You see, the Rambam understands that it's relatively intuitive to state that we are free with respect to our actions. It's true, you could deny that as well. But we feel, intuitively, we feel free with respect to our actions. We know that sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we do the right thing, but we feel like we're free. But when it comes to deos, character traits, oftentimes we don't feel free. This is the way we are. This is the way we've been born. Nature, nurture. A lot of times we see in our own character traits, the character traits of our parents perhaps, things that we picked up from our surroundings. We don't feel totally free about our character traits. And therefore, one could very well argue that tshuva is not relevant for character traits. Tshuva is relevant for actions, but those were free. And thus, the Rambam, now let's turn back to Parakei for a second. Parakei, where he discussed free will. So in Parakei, and this, by the way, might be why I think he calls bad midos deos as opposed to midos.
It seems like a lot of them were actually deos, though, not so much character traits.
Well, deos are midos. The Rambam.
It's like machshava, like your thoughts.
Like yeah, that's all that. He's clumping them together because ein behem maaseh. Now you're right, there is a maaseh in kas, for example, but the root of it is the corruption of the character. A person could do it without harming anybody. Even if you get angry, something bad happens to you and you stomp your fist and you don't even hurt somebody in the process. So the root of the problem is the character trait and the self-destruction. So if we look back at Parakei, Halacha Bet, so the Rambam stressed this point, the nature of our freedom. Look back over there. The Rambam said, "Al ya'avor b'machshav t'cha davar zeh she'omrim t'ipshe umot ha'olam v'rov gulmei b'nei Yisrael sh'akadosh baruch hu gozer al adam mitchilat b'yato liyot tzadik o rasha." Do not say what so many people do say, that God decrees the fate of a person, whether he will be a tzadik or a rasha. Ein ha'davar kein, this is not so. Ela kol kol adam ve'adam ra'ui lihios tzadik kemoshe rabbeinu o rasha ki rabba. Each and every person can be as great as Moshe or as wicked as Yerava. O chacham o sachal, or wise or foolish. On Shabbos we talked about the idea that here we're not talking about IQ. A person might be born with that to some degree. Chacham means someone who uses his mind to decide how he lives as opposed to acting with impulse. And a sachal is a fool, someone, not necessarily someone with a low IQ, but someone who lives life not using his intellect. O Rahman, O Achsari, these are all deos. You can decide whether you're going to live life intelligently or foolishly, if you're going to be a kind or cruel person, o kili o shav, v'chein shar kol hadeos. And likewise with respect to all deos, with respect to all character traits, all midos. The Rambam feels the need to introduce the fact that we are free, and not just free with respect to our actions, but even free with respect to our deos, before he describes tshuva in Hilchos Deos, tshuva about character traits, which is exactly what he does in Halacha Zayin. So that's the Rav's theory. The Rav's theory is that before discussing the notion of tshuva in Hilchos Deos, he precedes that with an explanation of freedom with respect to Deos. So Perek Aleph through Hay, or Aleph through Dalet, talks about tshuva on Maisim. And he doesn't need to introduce that with freedom about Maisim, because that's intuitive. Hay and Vav, he tells us we're free and includes Deos within the scope of our freedom. And then in Perek Zion, he turns back to tshuva on Deos. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, just to clarify, we're not going to go through it again, but on Shabbos, one of the things we saw is that even the Rambam does not think that we are a tabula rasa, even though he says that we have freedom to be as great as Moshe. He doesn't deny the role, the significant role of nature and nurture in who we are, and that's what the Rambam describes in Hilchos and elsewhere, Shmona Prakam and Amor Nevuchim and Olai. So now what I'd like to do is, we've sort of seen if you want, the rest of Hilchos Tshuva also fits in very nicely in Perek Ches. So again, Zion is back to Tshuva, as we said. Then if you take a look at Perek Ches, he begins talking about Olam Haba. That makes sense as well, because he began referring to Olam Haba in Perek Gimel, where he said, if you do tshuva, you have a chelik in Olam Haba, and call Yisrael Yeshlam chelik in Olam Haba. So he's referred to Olam Haba several times, and therefore in Ches and Tes, he describes what Olam Haba is. And finally in Yud, he describes what serving Hashem me'ahava is. And that's important to follow Olam Haba, because after having talked so much about Olam Haba and how wonderful it is, you might have thought that a person should serve God in order to get Olam Haba, and Rambam clarifies, no, that's being Oved as Hashem al menas lekabel pras. If one is Oved me'ava, it's to serve God because it's true, not because we'll be rewarded. So we'll get to go Ezra Hashem after Yantif through all those halachos. Now let's go back to Perek Gimel, which is where we left off last time. So let's review what we saw. We saw halacha aleph, that the definition of a tzaddik is more zechuyos than avonos, and the definition of a rasha is more avonos than zechuyos, and that a beinuni is someone who is mechza al mechza. Then the Rambam wrote, Adam shavonosav merubin al zechuyosav miyad humeis berisho, and the same thing is true with a Medina, for example, the story of Sdom, and the same thing is true with respect to the entire world, for example, the story of the Dor HaMabul. And we asked, how is this possible? We all know that there are many times that seeming Rishayim live long lives, Tzadikim die, and this is a question that all the Rishonim address in Rosh Hashanah when the Gemara says that Tzadik is Nechtam L'chaim. What does that mean? Rosh is Nechtam L'misa. What does that mean? So one approach is that of Tosfos, that it's not talking about Be'olam Hazeh, it's talking about Li'olam Haba. The din that we're referring to is Olam Haba. that makes a lot of sense then. The tzaddik is nechtam l'chaim, chaim meaning chaim nitzchiim, and rasha l'misa, maves nitzchi. But one would wonder why one would be judged every year for olam haba. I understand that would be true l'achar misa, but why every year? And when one studies Tosfos, that's a very interesting question, something to think about. The Ramban gives a different answer. The Ramban says that Nechtam Tzadik doesn't mean Tzadik as in Rov Shuyos. It means he was Yatza Bedino Zakai. And Rasha Nechtam Levaves means that he, as it were, lost his court case. Now, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide, for whatever reason, to allow Rishayim to live a long time, and sometimes for Tzadikim to die. We're not talking about Tzadik in the objective sense, but Tzadik Bedim. And that's also a very interesting approach, which he develops in the Shaar Gemul, but not the simple reading of the Gemara either. Now, the question is, what's Rambam going to say? Rambam clearly rejects that, because he says Tzadik is Rosh Huyos. He also doesn't seem to accept Tosus' pshat. It's pretty clear. He's talking about Olam Hazeh. That could be seen, among other things. First of all, Misa doesn't sound that way, and the example of Dor of Stom and Dor HaMabul. But what does he mean then? And Aravid already asked this question over here. And so we raised this question last time, and we made the following suggestion, which is that if you turn to Halacha Hey, again, we have different versions, but let's say Halacha Gimel. So he then talks about another type of din, which is the din of Rosh Hashanah. Shem Shashoklin Avonos Adam Schios Bishas Misa. So Kach Bichol Shana Vishana Shoklin Avonos Kol Achad Ve'achad Mibai Ha'olam. So, and that's when he says the idea of Nim Tzadik Nechtam L'chaim, Rasha Nechtam L'misa, and Beinoni is Tolin Ad Yom HaKippurim. If you did Tshuva Nechtam L'chaim, if you did not do Tshuva Nechtam L'misa. So there's a couple differences. First of all, is he just repeating what he said in Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet? That doesn't make too much sense. And there are also some significant differences. For example, as opposed to Halacha Bet, when he's talking about the din of Rosh Hashanah, he mentions a chasima, and he mentions shoklin. We weigh them, as opposed to earlier in Halacha Bet. So we suggested last time that the idea of the Gimel Svarim involves a, as it were, shoklin, an accounting, and a din, a psak din, nechtam l'chaim, nechtam l'misa. And Kadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah judges a person and decrees whether they'll live or whether they'll die. Halacha Bet is not talking about that. The idea in Halacha Bet is if someone is a Rasha, so they've lost their schus kiyum, and therefore, they won't be protected. Even if it wasn't Nigzar Aleihem on Rosh Hashanah Lamus, they might die. They'd be left to Mikra. And we cited evidence from the Rambam in Emor Nevuchim that the Rambam on the one hand says that only Hasidim are Zocha to absolute Hashgacha, but he also says that nobody is punished if they're not deserving. And we suggested that's because sometimes if you're not ra'oi, you're left to mikra. That itself, in a sense, is a form of punishment. So that's how we explained the relationship between Aleph and Bet, and then the end of Gimel.
Technically, it's all like Hashgacha. So how do you define mikra?
So the way the Rambam would say it is it's not all Hashgacha, meaning to say there is Teva, and sometimes a person, if they're not worthy of Hashgacha, will be left to Teva. Now, you're very surprised by this idea.
No, I'm not actually, but I'm like...
There are many thinkers that, and this is perhaps the more prevailing view in many of the more achronim or contemporary thinkers who maintain there is no such thing as Tav at all. Tav is entirely an illusion. Many Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Ramban, seem to disagree. There is such a thing as Tava. But Tava doesn't violate justice, and you see this very powerfully in the Ramban, for example, who on the one hand writes very famously at the end of Parshas Bo, anybody who believes in Tava has no chelek in Torah's Moshe, and at the same time, in numerous places, writes the idea, let's say, Bereishis Perek Yud Ches, the idea that the Rambam says that tzadikim are zocha to special hashgacha. The Pasuk says, Einei Hashem El Yireyev, which the Ramban says means that there's a special hashgacha and protection for Yireyev, for tzadikim, for chasidim. And the answer is that there is such a thing as tava, and there is such a thing as hashgacha. How they relate to each other is complex, both for Rambam and Ramban. But on its most basic level, I believe, and this is a point that Rabbeinu Bachya makes in the Ramban as well, that they both exist. A person who's not ra'oi for hashgacha will be left to teva. And the Rambam explains that hashgacha is almost a naturalistic phenomenon. Naturally, the closer I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more he will be mashgiach on me. If you think about it this way, and this isn't exactly precise, it's somewhat of a simplification, but if I am thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly thinking of me. So Rambam Shita and Hashgacha is a very big topic. If you want, we could talk about it, but I think this is where you see it as well. Okay, so that was Halachos Aleph Beis and the end of Gimel. The beginning of Gimel says a very interesting thing. I don't want to skip anything, so we just have to go back. Kol mi shenicham al hamitzvo she'asa v'taha al hazchuyos v'amar b'liba u'ma ho'alti v'asiyasan halavai lo asisi osan harei ze'ibed eskulan. Someone who regrets the mitzvos that they did, they say in their heart, ah, oh, what did they help? I wish I hadn't done them. So they lose those mitzvos. Ve'en maskirin lo shum zchus ba'olam. Shenamar tzidkas atzadik lo tatzilenu biyom pisho. The righteousness of the righteous will not protect him on the day of his sinning. It doesn't just mean he's sinned. That wouldn't make any sense. Ein ze'ela betoha al harishonus. And this is something, first of all, to keep in mind in a practical way. A lot of times we do something good, and after we've done it, especially if sometimes when you do something good, you feel really good about it. And then you're not tola rishonos. Sometimes you don't feel so good about it. Maybe somebody made fun of you. Maybe you tried to do a chesed to somebody, for someone, and they didn't appreciate it as much as you would have wished. All sorts of things sometimes cause us to be toha ala rishonos. It says in Mariv, Vaser satan ufaneinu umeacharenu. We ask God to remove the satan from before us and after us. So what does it mean to remove the satan after us? Before us, we understand we're about to do something, and remove the satan, remove the Yetzirah, so that we do what's right. But after we've done it already, what do we need the removal of the satan? So I once heard the explanation is referring to the fact that sometimes even after we do a mitzvah, there is a nisayon, do we regret it? It turned out expensive, it turned out, my father-in-law likes to say, no good deed goes unpunished. And sometimes it really feels that way. You get into big trouble after, you know, you think, ah, I did this mitzvah, like, you know, it should work out nicely, and it doesn't. So that's very important, not to be toa ala rishonos. Now, some note an interesting question, which is, we always talk about how great of a chesed tshuva is, but here we're saying it works in the opposite direction as well. Right? meaning to say, just like if we do bad things and we regret our bad things, Hashem forgives us, turns back the clock. So too, if we do good things and we regret those, God also kilu turns back the clock. Is there a difference? There are a couple of answers to this question. But I believe part of the answer is that there might be a fundamental difference, even in this sense, because as we talked about before, there's two aspects to tshuva. One is that God doesn't punish us for the bad deeds that we've done. And the second is the repairing of the relationship and the removal of the deleterious effects of our sins. It could be that the undoing of good deeds doesn't have both of those as the undoing of bad deeds does. Now, I want to... So then the continuation of a halacha gimel we saw, that's the din on Rosh Hashanah. Dalid is also what we saw, which is the idea of Tekiah Shofar being me'orer us to wake up and live a life that we know we should live. And then let's turn to the continuation, which we didn't read last time. Lefikach tzarech adam shiyira atzmo kol hashana kula kilu chetzio zakai v'chetzio chai. The person has to see themselves the entire year as though they're chetzio zakai v'chetzio chai. We don't really know. The Rambam told us that only God knows how this accounting, this measurement of schuyos versus avonos is. It doesn't go by number, it goes by quality, by weight. And even that, we argued, is very much dependent on the person and what they struggle with and the like. V'chein kol olam chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. So you should see yourself as a Beinoni. And in fact, you should even see the whole world as though it's a Beinoni. So therefore, chata chet achad harei hichriyas atzmo ves kol olam kulo l'kaf chova v'garm lo hashchasa. If you do one sin, you have pushed the scales down for yourself and the whole world. Asa mitzvah achas harei hichriyas atzmo ves kol olam kulo l'kaf chos. If you do one mitzvah, you can be machriya the whole world l'kaf chos v'garm lo hen tshua v'hatzala. Zehu shenamar v'tzadik yisod olam. Tzadik is yisod olam. Zeh tzadik atzmo hichriyas kol olam l'tzilo. And this is the idea of Adam nivra l'yachidi. One person is... The whole world was created for one person. And each of us should see that in and of ourselves. Now, obviously, it's unlikely that actually this is exactly the case. But this fact highlights how weighty we must consider each act and our responsibility concerning every act. Umepnei inyan zen nahu kol beis Yisrael laharbos betzdaka uvemasim tovim velasok b'mitzvos mirosh Hashanah ad yom hakipurim. Therefore, meaning to say, because we said that the Beinoni is tolin lo, im asa tshuva, then nechtam l'chaim, and lo asa tshuva, nechtam l'misa. So therefore, during this time in particular, during these aseres yimei tshuva, a person should be marbe b'tzdaka, uvemasim tovim, do more charity, good deeds, lasok b'mitzvos, try to do. Mitzvos, of course, is something we should always do, but we should do it with alacrity. It's interesting he doesn't mention tshuva explicitly, though obviously that's the goal, like he said before, imasa tshuva nachtam l'chaim. So we should do this, especially meirosh Hashanah v'ad yom kippurim yosir mikol imos ha'shar yimos Hashanah, even more than the rest of the year. Menagu kulam lakum belayla be'asara yamim elu l'spal bevate knesios. And therefore, we get up at night to say slichos v'divrei tachanunim u'v'divrei kivushim ad shi'er hayom, until it becomes light. It's interesting, the Ashkenazi custom is to start saying Slichos a week before Rosh Hashanah, Svardim Aleph Elul. But the Ikar Minog of Tshuva, the Rambam writes, the Ikar Minog of Slichos is from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Now, okay, there's more to say, but let's read on a little more because we're almost out of time. B'shah Sheshoklin Avonos Adam Im Zichu Yosef. Ein Mechashvin Alav Tchilas Avon Shechata Bo V'lo Sheni. When the equation is made, so the first time you sinned, that is not counted, nor the second time. Ela Mishlishi V'Eilach, only the third and onwards. Im Nimtzu Avonosav Mishlishi V'Eilach Merubin Al Zichu Yosef. So therefore, if your avonos from three and onwards exceed your zechuyos, so then, osan shnei avonos mitstarfin v'daninos alkol. Then those two avonos count, and you're judged for all three of them. V'im nimtzu zechuyosav keneged avonosav asher me'avon shlishi va'elach. But if you have more zechuyos than avonos from number three and on, the idea of number three, l'chor, is the idea that once you're huchzak in that chet, it becomes part of you and it demands an onesh as a kapara. And there's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the first two times, but we'll explain this in a moment. It seems very strange. So then, if you have more from three and on, let's say, for example, a person has five zechuyos and six avonos. So the first two avonos won't count, and therefore it's 5-4. Five zechuyos to four avonos. And at that point, then, mavirin kol avonos rishon. Each one of those are taken away one by one. That's what we say in Slichos on Yom Kippur again and again, that mavirin oso rishon. They're taken away one at a time. Lefi shashlishi nachshav rishon. Because in that case, the third will be like the first. Shekvar nimchalu hashnayim, because the first two were already forgiven, because only the third one on counts. V'chein ha-revi, harehu rishon, shekvar nimchal hashlishi v'chein kulan. So you start off with six averos to five mitzvos. So then you go down really to five mitzvos to four averos, because the first two don't count. And then from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1 to 0. And then he says, Bamet. All right, stop here for a second. Now, what's going on here? What din is he talking about? So this is a little bit strange, because he already told us earlier that in Rosh Hashanah, if it's more zechuyos, you're nechtam l'chaim, more avonos, nechtam l'misa, mechtzal mechtza, tolin lo, ad yom ha-kippurim, asa tshuva good, not. So what is this whole cheshbon of you take off the first two and then you look and there's no mention of Beinoni here? What's he talking about? So I think that's why the Kesef Mishnah says we're talking here about the din la'achar misa. La'achar misa, there's no din of Beinoni being tololo ad Yom Kippurim, because there is no more chance for tshuva. But la'achar misa, there's this chesed that you only count from the third one and on, and therefore, even if you're a Beinoni, or even if you're slightly ahead in Avonos, all of them could be Nimchal. And a raya to that explanation would be the Hemsheikh of this halacha. Skip the next paragraph of Medvar Memor B'Yachad. We'll get there in a second. But HaBeinonim Im Haya B'Chlal Mechtz Avonos Shalom Shalom Yinech Tfil Olam. If the Beinoni has among his Averos, he never wore Tfilin. So then, Danin Osoka Fi Chata V'Yishal Chilak Lom Haba. Then he gets punished based off of his chatayim. We'll talk about what that means, but he still has a chelik in olam haba. And then he says, even rishayim that have more avonos, still danin oso al chatayim, so they have more averos, so they need punishment, gehenim, but they have a chelik in olam haba. And then he continues with those who don't have a chelik in olam haba. Now that clearly, this part of the halacha is clearly talking about what? La'achar misa. It's talking about gehenim, olam haba, and therefore it makes sense what the Kesef Mishnah says, at the beginning of this halacha is also talking about Olam Haba. So this one, halacha hey, has nothing to do with Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. That's what he talked about earlier. This is the din of La'achar Misa, in which case it's very beautiful. Halacha Aleph and Bet, we're talking about the din B'chol Yom. Halacha Gimel is the din on Rosh Hashanah. Halacha hey is the din La'achar Misa, three dinim. Now there's a big problem with this explanation. which is the continuation, the paragraph we skipped. Bamed v'mamurim biyachid, shenemar, hein kol eila yif'al kel, pa'mayim shalosh im gaver. When is this true that we knock off the first two? That's for an individual. Avala tzibor, tolin lahem avon rishon sheni v'shlishi. Tzibor, it's even better. You're forgiven. Though here it says tolin, before it says nimchalin. The first three are weighed, not just the first two. Shenemar, ashloshe pishe yisrael, val arba lo ashivenu. So as opposed to the yachid, where it's mechashvin mishlishi va'elach, the tzibur is mervi va'elach. Now, this cannot be talking about lachar misa, because, at least it would seem, there's no such thing as a din on a tzibur lachar misa. Lachar misa, everybody's judged as a yachid.
Quoting the pasuk of Amos, it's talking about
Olam Hazeh. Yes,
but it's the past punishment anyway.
Well, it's saying Al Shosha Pisha Yisrael Va'arba Lo Shivenu. Klal Yisrael has done three things. I was willing to overlook them, but now that they've done the fourth, I'm no longer willing to overlook it. And Megalgal and Lav Esakol, and they're going to be taken over and conquered and the like. In other words, in this world, we're sometimes judged as a tzibur, like you said at the beginning, stone and the like. But l'chora, l'achar misa, there's no such thing as a din on a tzibur. In which case, we can't be talking about the din l'achar misa over here. So then what then are we talking about? So it's not so clear to me, but I suppose you'd be forced to say that halacha A is a clarification of what he said, halacha gimel, zedin on Rosh Hashanah. Even though he said before, then Rosh Hashanah, rov avonos is Rasha, rov schuyos is tzaddik, saying, but the first two don't count. And then denuni would mean not exactly 50-50, but, you know, 52-50. And even then, though, I think the end of this halacha, namely what he said before about Danino Solafi Chateyam and the like, has to be talking about Lacha Misa, which is interesting. So you'd have to say switched over there. So, as you could see, I'm not so clear about these halachos. It's somewhat of a mystery to me, but that's what seems to be the correct shot. So God willing, after Yom Kippur, after Sukkot, we will pick up here with this halacha of Habenunim, the middle of Halacha Hay. And will bring us to a very, very interesting group of halachos. This is where the second half of Per Gimel is where the Rambam paskins the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna in Hilchos Tshuva. Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna appear in Hilchos, in Parsha Mishnayos, Hakdamah to Per Chelek. But where are they actually codified in halacha? Over here, second half of Per Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva. So it's a very, very important group of halachos to do. So we'll pick up with that, God willing, after Sukkot. In the meantime, we should all have a Gemar Chesima Tova, and we should be Zoche to be Mekayim, the type of tshuva described here at the Rambam, both tshuva with respect to our Maisim and tshuva with respect to our Deos, and we should be Zoche to personal tshuva and Geula and communal tshuva and Geula. Gemar Chesima Tova, Gut Yontif, Chag Sameach, and the Be'ezus Hashem will pick up after Sukkos.